We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot, and because there are some new faces here, we'll explain what we're doing here. The Rambam, in his enumeration of the 613 mitzvot, begins with an introduction in which he states what are his rules, what gets counted as a mitzvah and what not. And in this second rule, what he says is that things that are derived from the 13 laws of derivation, the Yud Gimel Midot Shatorah Nidreshet Bahen, do not deserve to get counted unless we have a specific tradition that says that this is a biblical mitzvah, this is a mitzvah that is a guf Torah, is a body of Torah. And he goes out against Baal Halachos Gedolos, who seems to enumerate mitzvahs that are derived from there. And then after learning the Rambam's explanation of his rule, we started learning the Ramban, Nachmanides, in his commentary on the Rambam. And he said, he holds it against Baal Halachos Gedolos that counted the mitzvah of fearing the rabbis. And our sages derived from the word es, that you not only have to have awe of God, you also have to have awe of those that represent this Torah, the rabbis. And Baal Halachos Gedolos enumerates that as one of the 613 mitzvot. And that was one of the claims Maimonides had against him. I know it's derived from the word S, but how could he count that as one of the 613? And
says them direct from the word right.
That says listen to them, but not to have fear of them. And the other claim he had was, why then doesn't he say to honor a step-parent? Because that's also derived from the verse. Honor your stepfather, honor your stepmother, that's also derived. Maybe that should be its own mitzvah. Or a big brother, that's also derived from the verse. Maybe that should also be a separate mitzvah. So that was his second claim against Baal Halachos Gedolos. Why'd you count it? And if you counted it, why didn't you count the other ones? And then the Rambam had this great rule, which he said that anything derived from the principles is not to be counted. And then the Ramban came back and he said, the Gemara in Ksubas recounts that Rebbe, when he left his will to his children, he said, I want you to honor your mother. So the Gemara says, why does Rebbe have to tell his kids, I want you to honor your mother? That's biblical. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a situation where she wasn't their mother. She was their stepmother. Their mother passed away. He remarried. And when he said, I want you to honor your mother, he meant their stepmother. So what does the Gemara say? That's also biblical. Why do you have to tell them that? The Torah says, Kabeid es avicha, to incorporate the stepmother as well. So you see that the Talmud refers to what's derived from es avicha, the es imecha, that Kabeid es avicha, to incorporate the father's second wife. So the Talmud calls that biblical. So, yeah.
So, were you first?
No, I wasn't.
We need to respect, we need to give honor father and mother despite everything. But what happened if this stepmother or stepfather mistreats the son or daughter? Should the ring give him?
It depends. It's too complicated a question. It depends on what. Depends.
In that situation, I see that it seems that, you know, it seems that we don't give too much importance to the grandparents. Everything's about the father and
no, no,
mother.
We also honor the grandparents. Hilchos Kibud Av Aim also says honor your grandparents.
I read many works that says that if we do Kibud Sata and Sava, it's because we are giving Kibud Arim for Kibud Arim. Not that.
Not so simple.
No.
No.
So we should give Kibud Sata and Sava like directly and not because we should do Kibud Arim.
Right. He says, wait a second. The Talmud calls that biblical. And the Rambam says something derived from the Yud Gimel Midos. If the Talmud calls it biblical, then you should count it. So then why didn't the Rambam himself count that, honoring a stepmother? Because the Talmud here, you see that line of Talmud, calls it biblical. And he says, look, the Rambam himself says that that kind of terminology makes him count something. You see, in the mitzvah of going by the rov, by the majority opinion, the Gemara calls it Ruba Doraisahi. So from that he learns that it's a biblical mitzvah to go by the majority opinion, even though technically it's a derivation. And when the Torah says, don't eat chametz after the sixth hour, so that's not written overtly in the Torah. But because the Talmud in one place says that that's the Oraisa, he says, okay, so that gets counted as one of the 613. So according to the Rambam, then honoring a step parent should also be one of the 613. Daldat Baal Alachot. Ben Shen de Oraita, Ben Shen de Rabbanan. You guys have the place? Page Nun Aleph in the Frankel editions, page Yud Tes in the regular editions, the Aldad Baal Alachot Dolot, we have the marker here. Where's your marker, Yehuda?
Over here. That's not the same page.
Oh, right. I think someone moved the marker here, right? Which page?
21.
No, so your marker's wrong.
My marker's wrong.
Yeah, page Yud Tes. Page Yud Tes in the regular editions. Ve'al da'at ba'al halachot gdolot. We're starting at the last line of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Ve'al da'at ba'al halachot gdolot. You have it? The last line of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Ve'al da'at ba'al halachot gdolot. Ben shehen d'oraita, ben shehen d'rabanan, hayu ru'yin li'imanot, k'mo sh'nidver mida'ato b'ikar rishon. Ba'al halachos gdolot is willing to count rabbinic mitzvos in his 613 as well. Because Baal Halachos Gedolos has a version in the Gemara that doesn't say like the Rambam. It doesn't say there were 613 mitzvahs given to Moshe at Sinai, but rather there are a total of 613 mitzvahs that the Jewish people do. So that could include biblical and rabbinic. That's why Baal Halachos Gedolos doesn't mind including some rabbinic mitzvahs in his 613.
So in the end, the argument is just a list that someone came up with.
Okay.
Right?
I'm sorry, we spent about 3 weeks discussing that question. We can't just answer that in 1 second. But I want to explain that. The Ramban went through a whole long essay on that question. So. But I want to explain Baal Halachos Gedolos, his logic in all this. The Talmud over there says, no, so why did Rebbe have to tell his kids, honor your mother? It's a stepmother. Yeah, but a stepmother is also biblical? Yes, it's only biblical when the father's still alive. It says, honor your father to include the stepmother. The stepmother, you're only honoring your father, an extension of that is honoring the stepmother so long as he's alive. But after he's dead, no. That's what Rebbe had to tell his kids. I know I'm dying. I know that technically you don't have to honor her. I'm asking you honor her after I die too.
What about a son of a shipcha, a son of a...
maid?
Right. So they're the sons of the maid. But for instance, when it comes to Chachel and others, the idea in Sarah, well, the idea was for the son to be theirs, but through the maid. So which person should they give to the mother?
I think their biological mother. Hinei be'aru ki ze ha'ishu ba'alimo eino chayav b'chvodo mipnei kvod atzmo. What the Talmud really is telling me is that the step parent is not the, it's not that person who you really have to honor. Ela mipnei shu kvod le'imo. But rather, it's an extension of honoring your mother to honor her second husband, to honor your stepdad. So that's why a person is really potter after the parent dies, because it's an extension of honoring that parent. So then it turns out that you're not really given a new mitzvah. Honor your father. Oh, honor your stepmother, it's its own entity. No, it's an extension of honoring your father. It's not really its own entity. But rather, what the Torah was telling me is I have to honor them in any way that honors them, which includes honoring their new wife, honoring the stepmother. It's not its own entity, this mitzvah. Meaning, the Ramban is telling us, when the parent dies, that's what the Talmud says, you no longer have to honor the step-parent. Aval achicha agadol, but what are you going to say about your big brother? Torah says, on your parent, and we say that's to include the stepbrother. Im chashvo rishonim she'ena mitzvah ken ela b'chayei avot lefi shu gnai lehem she'itbazu toldotam ve'em itztarim b'ze arbe. If the rishonim thought that the idea here, when Torah says honor your big brother, it's an extension of honoring your parent. Because if the parent sees that the little kid talks back to the big kid, so the parent gets shamed by it. You know, the 20-year-old brother tells his 5-year-old brother, sit down and put your seatbelt on. And he says, who do you think you are, pipsqueak? I know I'm on the plane. I'm doing what I want. No, everyone looks around on the airplane and looks at the parents embarrassed. So maybe if that's so, then we would only have to honor the big brother so long as the parents are alive, because then it is also an extension of honoring the parents. And
why do they exclude older sisters?
It's a good question. And the common thing is that people scold their kids and they get their kids in line to honor their elders, to honor their big siblings too. And that's the way it would seem. Because if the derivation comes from the Vav, V'es imecha, so then the Vav usually only comes to incorporate something that's like the source, like the thing it's derived from. V'im ken, akol chozel kibud avot. So then it all goes back to honoring the parent. V'im ken, v'ulai, savru shen midrash vav yeter ha'ikar, dekamilan keman damar lo darshin an vav. Or maybe they didn't hold of this drasha altogether, that we don't darshan that vav. It's a machlokas whether we darshan the vav in the Torah or not. So maybe we don't accept this derivation altogether. But according to their count, where they said, honor your father and your mother is one mitzvah. It's not two separate mitzvahs. Honor your parents, one mitzvah. And when the Torah says, you're prohibited from cursing your father and your mother, they didn't count that as two prohibitions. They counted it as one prohibition. Rambam too. Mipnei yeyotam nemarim bechlal echad. Because they're all said in unison. It says, honor your father and your mother. So it's one mitzvah. So then, if you're going to count the father and the mother that are written overtly, honor your father and your mother, that's counted as one mitzvah. So then the brother that comes out from within all of that, from a derivation, or the step therein, obviously that's also one mitzvah with the whole count. Because let's say the pasuk would have overtly said, honor your father and your mother and your big brother. It still would be one mitzvah, just like honor your father and mother. So derivation is obviously going to be like that. So the Ramban says we don't really have an issue with that. That honoring parents is one mitzvah, so then the big brother is also part of that one mitzvah. That works. But now that we've discussed that, I want to come back to the point, the Rambam's second principle here. Maimonides said that anything that's derived from the laws of derivation is rabbinic. Even if it was Moshe who derived it. But if we have something on tradition from Moshe, if the tradition is, this is derived, but really it's biblical. Sometimes they tell us it's derived, but it's biblical. As yimneoto, then we count it. If part of the tradition is that this is a biblical mitzvah, because really the whole mitzvah stems from our tradition. The derivation is a way of aligning it with the pasuk, but it's not really that's not where we get it from. And the Ramban says this is beyond me.
Sorry. There are some things.
Okay.
If we still need to give a certain way of kibbutz, in this case of the father, we give the example if father dies. Still to respect him, right? At least his memory and everything he did, right? So how come we should stop doing kibbutz to stepmother if father dies?
It's a good question. Not for now. Back to Rambam. Sorry. So the Ramban says this is all beyond me. Because he says, I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that the laws of derivation are not a tradition from Sinai, And we don't have a commandment from the Torah to apply these laws and to use them to understand what the Torah is telling us. Then they're a lie. Where do we get it from? The Ramban is saying, I want to understand the Rambam. I don't understand you, Rambam. What are you going to tell me? Are these 13 laws of derivations not from Sinai? Then they're not true. Then the whole truth is just what it says in the Torah. Whatever it says, that's what you understand, that's the truth. And not the thing that's derived. Yeah?
There may not be ways to find biblical mitzvah, but it might still be from Sinai, no? Does it mean that necessarily that you're drushing from them, you're getting biblical mitzvah?
He's in the middle of a sentence. I hear your point, but let's let him finish. As the Rambam mentioned, our sages do say that the Torah, that the verse always retains its simple meaning. And if we go with that, obviously we've uprooted the root of our tradition in the 13 principles, and most of the Talmud. You can uproot most of the Talmud if you're going to say that. And the Rambam obviously was bothered with this fault in his logic, because he himself says that the reason I don't count them is not because they're not true. Meaning he says, of course they're true, but I don't count them. But if they're true, let's hear how he presents that case. What difference does it make if they overtly say this mitzvah is biblical, or they just apply the law of derivation and they don't say it's biblical? She'im nomar, because if what we're going to say is kevan shelo nichtav hadavar b'Torah, being that this is not written in the Torah but it's derived from one of the 13 principles, then eino bichlal mitzvot, it's not a part of the mitzvos. Apa muskarot men b'Talmud lomar ben deoraita migzira shava umeribui af eino nichtavu. Then what's the logic here? When the Talmud tells me this is biblical, but it wasn't written in the Torah either. Meaning, if our logic is that the only biblical mitzvah is a mitzvah that's written overtly in the Torah, then why am I better off when they suddenly tell me this thing that's derived is really biblical? How'd that happen? But that doesn't make it written in the Torah. If the logic of the Rambam is that he says, yes, the 13 laws of derivation are true, good, then why don't you count them? Because whatever isn't written in the Torah doesn't count. Well, if it doesn't count, then how does it help me that they said, yeah, but this is biblical? It's still not written in the Torah. So what gives you the right to count it? Meaning the Rambam made a certain exception. He said, I won't count it unless they tell me. And when they tell you, then why do you count it? So they told you it's biblical. If you're not going to accept that it's biblical because it's from the 13 laws of derivation, then what makes their saying so give it the right to be counted? But it's not written in the Torah. If you're only counting what's written, that's still not written. Okay, now you understand the Rambam? Your question's answered, right? And the Rambam seemingly answered this. He says, because if we have it on tradition, then the source of this halacha is our tradition and not the law of derivation. And then our tradition can give us a biblical mitzvah. So the Rambam retorts. He says, well, if the laws of derivation are true, so then the laws of derivation are really telling me that you have a tradition with which you derive all of the other mitzvot too. Everything you derive from the 13 laws of derivation is on tradition. If he gave us these laws of derivation, so then he gave us the tools, the tradition, to derive these other mitzvot. What's the Rambam saying? If my tradition tells me this is biblical, so then what my tradition tells me is that really I have a tradition, this is a biblical mitzvah. And the law of derivation is not where I got it from. And what are the laws of derivation? You tell me they're true. You tell me they're from Sinai. And what? And if they're true and they're from Sinai, then I sort of have on tradition everything I derived with them. But that tradition doesn't count. That doesn't make it biblical. Why? I have it on tradition from Moshe, but that doesn't make it biblical. If I have on tradition from Moshe that it's Doraisa, then it is biblical. Why? How are you discerning between these traditions? So that's the Ramban's attack. There's a fabulous answer here in the Megillas Esther and the Marganita Tova. There are beautiful answers here.
Where
But let's continue. We're learning Rambam Ramban. That's what we're learning here tonight.
Next year.
Ve'od, and furthermore, Shalacha leMoshe miSinai etzel Rav divrei sofrimi. The Rambam says that things that are halacha leMoshe miSinai are divrei sofrim, which we said is a term that needs to be defined. The truth is that the Rambam began by saying that it's drabanan. You remember we said in one place he says divrei sofrim, but in the very beginning he said it's drabanan. He said, "Mashnim zemba Talmud yismichayu lachad miyudgim en midot shehu derabanan." He says it's drabanan. So the Rambam says that halacha leMoshe miSinai is divrei sofrim. The imken hadavar mekubal lo yikare dvar Torah mitzad haKabbalah, ela mitzad hayoto nidrash min hamidot udvar Torah. If you tell me that things that are in tradition from Sinai are divrei sofrim, they're not biblical. Yeah? So then, you can't tell me that I'll have a tradition from Sinai that's a biblical mitzvah, because you just told me that all my traditions from Sinai have the weight of a drabanan. They're not doraisa. Torah is doraisa. Halacha Moshe Sinai is drabanan. So now, but I can have a tradition to Moshe to Sinai that this is doraisa. How does that work? You just told me I have two options. Either it's Doraisa or Drabanan. Halacha leMoshe miSinai is Drabanan. So now, you're telling me I could have Halacha leMoshe miSinai that's Doraisa? How? It can't be from my tradition, because you just told me that my traditions, anything that's not written, is Drabanan, right? So then what could make it Doraisa? The fact that it's derived from the 13 laws of derivation. But you just told me that can't make it Doraisa. So now, wait a second. So how do you ever get a Doraisa, what's not written in the Torah? The Rambam says, right? What's the Rambam's logic? He says, what's derived with the laws of derivation? Drabanan. What's Halacha Moshe miSinai? Drabanan. But if you have something derived, and you have a tradition that's Doraisa, then it's Doraisa. So the Rambam says, wait a second. Why is it Doraisa, you're telling me? Not because of the laws of derivation, because they don't make a Doraisa. So why? Because of the tradition? But you just told me all the traditions are Drabanan. So then how do you end up with a Doraisa? How can you have a tradition that has the weight of a Doraisa? Yeah, he's saying you cut both branches, you could stand on. If you make all traditions to Moshe, all Halacha Moshe miSinai is Drabanan, and you make everything from the Yud Gimel Midos Drabanan, so how can you have a tradition plus the 13 principles and end up with a Doraisa if you tell me both strengths only end up with a Drabanan? Fair enough.
Let's not go fair about the rock.
This is Rishonim fighting. V'inei Rav me'arbev dvarav. And so our rabbi, the Rambam, is now mixing his words. V'chazal v'natan tam acher v'svara acheret. And the Rambam then seems to come back and give another reasoning behind his logic. V'asiba ha-shamar. And then the Rambam gave another explanation towards the end of this. And he said, mipnei hayot kol ma sheyotziu adam anafim min haikarim asher nemru l'Moshe bin Sinai. Because everything that's derived is really just branches that come from the trunk of the main points that were set to Moshe at Sinai, b'viyur clearly, nem tayag mitzvot, and the trunk, the mitzvot, the root of it all are the 613 mitzvot. V'afidu haya motzi Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom ba'atzmo lo yimanu. And even if Moshe himself would use the laws of derivation, what's derived is just branches and doesn't get counted in the 613. That was the Rambam. Ve'inei, so the Ramban comes back and says, "Im em anafim minei karin, if they're branches from the same root, kigon shiyu chelek mem, meaning, let's say they're a part of them, afilu ayu ktuvim beferush lo imanu latzman. Even if they'd be written overtly, you wouldn't count them, because they're only part of a different mitzvah. Right? Meaning, what are you telling me? They're branches? Well, if they're branches, then they could be written overtly, and they still would be a part of the same mitzvah, and you wouldn't count them on their own. And then you don't have to tell me they're rabbinic. They could be biblical, and they'd still be a part of the other mitzvah. The only thing is, they don't get their own count. That doesn't make them rabbinic. What are you telling me? It's a branch. Okay, it's a branch. Very good. It's a branch. Then it's a biblical branch, which is a part of a greater mitzvah. Finished. Okay. So why'd you go and tell me they're rabbinic? What are you telling me? They're branches of the root. Well, if they're branches, then that's a good enough reason not to count them. That you don't have to make them rabbinic. But if the rabbis use the laws of derivation to derive a unique halacha, let's take an example. We use the laws of derivation to learn that a person who is not circumcised, he is an RL, is prohibited from eating truma. Now that's its own entity. Or we learn that a new type of relative is prohibited. We use the laws of derivation to learn that a great grandmother, you're prohibited from marrying your great grandmother. Doesn't say it in the Torah. It says two generations up. Doesn't say three generations up. You can't marry your great granddaughter. So that's something which it doesn't say anywhere. So we use the laws of derivation to learn that's prohibited. But that's a totally new concept. Now, that's a branch, I understand, but it's its own entity, really. You can't tell me it's a branch. It's its own entity. It's its own prohibition. So then, lama lo yimanu. So why don't you count it? Then, elo anafim, you can't tell me these are branches. Elei karim. These are their own entities. Veroi likotam od divrei Torah. Not only that, I would call them words of Torah, velim notam, and I think you should count them. Just like he enumerates, anything the Talmud says is biblical or a body of Torah. And there's no difference. And obviously no one's doubting whether they're true or not. They're true. Well, if they're true, and the laws are true, and this is how you derive, then why isn't it biblical? And maybe what he holds is, he's trying to understand the Rambam. He says, maybe what the Rambam holds is that a halacha that's derived with the laws of derivation, even though it's true, what's derived is true. But really, it's not alluded to in the verse. You're using a law of derivation, but it's not alluded to. It's not written in the Torah. And the whole point of the Torah is for the simple reading. And really, the Torah did not mean for you to derive all that and say this came from the Torah. And then, okay, I understand that it's called rabbinic because really it's not derived from the Torah. The Torah only meant what it says. All the laws of derivation, they're not really deriving from the Torah. But when they tell us it's biblical, or they tell us it's a body of Torah, nimnoto, because then we will count it, because then we have a tradition, that really our tradition tells us that derivation was written for that purpose. Maybe that's what the Rambam means. Yeah? That really, anything, the halacha that's derived is true. But the derivation doesn't make it like the Torah said it, because really the rabbi said it. That's why it's rabbinic. If you have a tradition, then I say, yeah, the Torah meant to say that. Umikol makom, beotan shelo yizkiru shen doraita. And nonetheless, let's take the laws of derivation where they don't tell me it's Doraisa. Hare amitata din etzlo besafek. So then the Rambam is left in a very interesting position if that's the understanding of the Rambam. Because then you have to be in doubt as to whether the halacha is true. Imum divrei sofrim legamrei shechitshuto bebetin, meaning you encounter Gemara. The Gemara tells you something derived according to the Rambam. Now you have a question. Is it a totally new concept that's medivrei sofrim, that the courts really said their thing and they showed it in the pasuk, but really it's the court's own invention? Or maybe the rabbis learned it from Moshe. And it's something which they have on tradition, but it's divrei sofrim because it has no real allusion in the Torah. And it's not included in the Torah, klomat tariag mitzot, meaning that it's not one of the tariag. V'anu lo mitzinu da'at chachamim b'zeh, sh'amidut kulam etzlam, k'davar mefurash b'torah, v'dorshim otam mida'atam. He says, that's not the way we see the rabbis talking. The rabbis hold that anything that's learned from the laws of derivation is like it's written in the Torah, and the rabbis applied it at the way they saw fit. And even though they didn't have a tradition from Moshe from Sinai, they tried to apply the laws of derivation, and they held that whatever the laws, wherever that'll lead them, that's biblical. Not like we're suggesting would be shot in the Rambam.
Why that? What they will do will become biblical because they were in the role of the Ruach HaKodesh on putting.
Because they knew how to apply the laws of derivation. If you know how to apply it, then what you derive is biblical. That's what they held. The only exception is when it comes to Gzer Shavah, there they said you can't take Gzer Shavah without a clear tradition. Because if you use Gzer Shavah, you could use it all day long and uproot the whole Torah. Well, it says this here, it says this there, and just invent your own Torah. Because every word appears in the Torah many times. If you just say Gzer Shavah without tradition, there's no limit to what you could do. If Charles spoke gadol liot kulo b'milot mechudashot, if Charles sefer gadol liot kulo b'milot mechudashot, you can't have any big book use every word only once. It doesn't work that way. Once you're a big book, you're going to start repeating words. Now that doesn't mean you should start deriving this word from that word. You have the Talmud explicitly saying adam dan kavachom me'atzmo v'in adam dan gzrat shava me'atzmo. The Talmud tells us in Sukkah and in a lot of other places, a person can say a kal v'chomer of his own logic, but he can't say gzeir shav unless you have a tradition. Elaim ken kibla merabo kmo shuskar b'sheni shel nidav u'mkumot acherim, as the Talmud says in Nida and in Pesachim and in Shabbos and in Makos and in Shavuos v'em omrim. And the Talmud even says sometimes, and this is the knockout punch in my opinion, the Ramban's knockout punch is this line. He says the Talmud says lishtekra mineh v'leite b'kal v'chomer. Why did the pasuk have to bother telling me that? I could have derived it with a kal v'chomer. According to the Rambam, how could you say that? Kal v'chomer doesn't have the weight of an overt pasuk. The Gemara here equated it. The Gemara said, why bother saying that? I could have derived it. Yeah. Well, according to the Rambam, I have every reason in the world to say it. It's two different halachas whether the Torah says it or not. And sometimes the Gemara's answer is milta dat ya bekal v'chomer tach v'katav lakra. The pasuk will sometimes write something he could have derived. Okay, and he's in the middle of this point, but we're out of time. So if you guys could just move the markers, and we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next time.
I never got.